everybody and welcome to the myriad people who are here.
More.
In spirit and in truth.
Sound like a crowd.
So, welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Lewis Christian Fellowship, where we just love to get together and chat about our Lord. So, I think today we are either going to close out chapter 6 or start chapter 7 of Matthew. So if Clyde, you would lead us in a word of prayer, we can get started.
Precious Lord, we depend upon you to lead us into all truth, because according to your word, that's exactly what it proclaims. So Lord, we just wait on you, and we wait confidently on you, that you will lead us and guide us into all truth, and you will be glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What shall we do? You want to finish out chapter 6? What was what was it that was still in your heart?
To me, it was just the last verse.
Okay. Therefore, no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto this day, the day. I love to paraphrase. Unto the day is the evil thereof. That's out of the King James.
I'd like to go back up to 33.
Okay.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all these things shall be added unto you.
And take therefore. Whenever you see therefore, you should go back and see what it's there for. Mm-hmm. Take therefore no thought for the mark. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to ask a question about that. Don't you believe that, but seek ye first? He's setting up an area to where you need to do this first before you go to that other area, because in order to, how do I want to say mm-hmm. it, receive that area that it's meant to be, you need to understand what it takes to do that. Mm-hmm. First of all, we need to ask ourselves a question, and that question mm-hmm. is, when it says seek first the kingdom of God, are we doing that? I mean, I think this is hits home. Mm-hmm. I think matter time. I think a lot of things that are learning, we are learning in this day, is things that speak volumes to our home. How do we feel like in our home? Is this what we're doing together? I said, we're in agreement with this. Is this, what the heck, I hate to use the word, priority. And I said, of course, and then it says, and his righteousness, and why, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Okay, now that was everything above that, but it also prepares us for 34. I'm going to translate this out of the King James. It says, therefore, take no thought, therefore, of tomorrow. And it's got a note down here. It says, do not worry about. I mean, some people might think, well, what's that actually mean? And I believe what I've witnessed, as a lot of people are considered about tomorrow, and they're so worried about it, they let today go by without noticing it. I hate to say it like that, mm-hmm. but I think that's really kind of the, was that you that said that? Jimmy Carter was asking the guy, how did he express that or get his expression?
He asked the guy what his secret was to being so successful at evangelizing people.
Right.
And he said the answer was that he loved the one standing in front of him.
See, I think that's tremendous.
He's not feeling well.
Well, you couldn't have a better answer
Thank
than
you
that,
for
you know.
The truth
by oh, yes.
Well, I think.
Drive everywhere. He's the one who wants to drive.
More than likely, that's been overlooked a lot. Looking past them. You ever looked around the corner to see what's coming? Like 40 feet before you got to the corner? I mean, you don't need to look there until you're looking right here.
Until you get there.
Can I say something? I want. My neighbor, who I talked to the other day, had his granddaughter and his wife's Bronco. The Bronco had the side steps, you know, that you could step into the Bronco with. And they were turning left on a green light. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they had the light, but he didn't take his time going through it. When it changed, he went. In the meantime, there's a tractor trailer headed his way that was going to run the stop sign that he didn't know about, doing about 70 miles an hour. Now, he's coming toward La Swordsville. So he's coming down the hill, like, you know how that grade is, like down the hill. So a lot of people take a run at that when you're coming up the hill. And if they can make that one light, they're not slowing down at all. Well, anyway, so they got hit, got knocked over, slid down the road. I brought that up to say this. He said, I am now encouraging everybody. I don't care if the light is green. Wait, count two or three. He said, if I'd have waited for 3 seconds, that guy would have been way past us. But anyway, his granddaughter and him walked out of the thing. And he credits the side bumpers, that's why I brought that up, the steps on the vehicle, because it hit that first and took the impact of the hit, and they walked away from it. He said they had to go to the hospital and get checked out, but he said once that hit, all the airbags in the vehicle went off. He said, so we were basically in there looking at each other with airbags all around. But he said, I thank God that we had that vehicle. He said, if we'd had my vehicle, he said, chances are she might have died. So, I mean, you know, just take our time, take caution.
You know that verse, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all that be added unto you. When I read something like that, the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, if I'm going to seek something, I first of all have to know where it is. You know what I'm saying? Because literally what it means seek in order to find. Well, the first thing that people need to do is to come to understanding that the kingdom of God is within you. And when you come to that realization, then your search for God will not be some distant search. It will be an inner search. You know, you'll have to search for God in. That's why I love that Helen Steiner Rice poem so much. When that Windows of Gold, where at the end of that poem, she says, and your search for God will begin and end when you search for him and find him within.
Yes.
And I mean, that's a revelation right there, you know. And when he's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, well, you have to seek it in the right place. You have to know that he dwells within you. And the first movement towards doing anything is coming to acknowledging that he's within you. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you begin to acknowledge that, then he's not a God that's afar off. He's dwelling right inside of you, you know. And that fellowship can be instantaneous. It's not something where you got to pray to bring to bring him up or pray to bring him down, you know, because he don't come up and down. He's inside you. You know what I mean? Your feelings will feel like he comes down sometimes. You know, people used to say in the old time Pentecostal things and stuff, well, we prayed the Holy Ghost down, you know. You know, you make these kind of statements. You don't have to pray the Holy Ghost down because the Holy Ghost is inside of you. But what you have to do is acknowledge him, and he inhabits the praises of his saints. And you begin to praise him and to worship him, then that presence magnifies itself. And it makes itself greater to where you sense it, feel it, or whatever. And, you know, but I think a lot of times we have a tendency, that we put a lot of things out there to young Christians, especially to where we confuse the heck out of them, you know. And we should be telling them from the very beginning where the kingdom of God is, and that it's not a far distant place away, you know, that he's dwelling right inside of them, you know. And Jesus said it doesn't come with observation, you know, but the kingdom of God is within you. So, you know, as soon as we acknowledge that, the sooner we acknowledge that, the sooner our search will begin to bring forth the fruit of righteousness, not just a bunch of do's and don'ts, you know, that religion puts out there.
When I looked up to seek, and the first is to seek to find, but right down number three meaning is to seek the face. Gosh, that really means a lot to me. I know where Mike is, and I know, you know, usually what he's doing. I just want to be with him. I want to see his face right there next to me, you know. I want to not be alone. I want him with me. And when you're thinking of God in there, it's not only with me, it's within me. And all around me and among us and all those prepositions, with us, within us. So, you know, where we don't know where he ends and we begin. That's when I find real peace. That's where I want to be.
You know what you just said there? Made me think about that song that the Gaithers had years ago, More of You.
Yeah.
Just More of You. I've searched all around and you know, and the word's gone. And really, it's talking about Christ in you, you know. Mm-hmm. And them songs that they wrote years ago were so inspired and so spiritually inspired. A lot of the songs today are good songs, but I think some of the old songs really laid it out there a lot better, you know what I mean. You used to go to their concerts and man, you felt like you was sitting in heaven almost when they sing some of them songs, because the lyrics was so so spiritually inspired, you know. It wasn't just a upbeat tune or something, you know. It was just beautiful words and stuff, you know, just wonderful.
Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you.
Yeah, wow.
Beautiful.
Couldn't have anything more desire than that, you know.
Okay, can I tell this story of that you put up on the prayer thing?
Sure. I forget what it was, but go ahead.
This young mother is in the dollar store. She just had to pick up a few things. And this older lady with a bunch of food and stuff in her cart got in front of her. And she thought to herself, didn't she see I only had three? She could have let me go first. And she said, the Lord humbled me right away and said, pay for her stuff. And she's like, what? He said, pay for her things. Mm-hmm. And so when the lady rang up the stuff, she put her stuff with the older woman. And she said, do you care if I pay for your things? And she goes, what? People don't expect that.
No.
And she goes, I want to pay for your thing. She goes, really? And so she let her pay, and they thanked each other. And she catches up with the lady outside because she's putting her cart away. And I forget exactly how it went, but she said, can I pray for you?
And she said, I'm only obeying what God told me.
Yes.
Don't thank me.
And the lady said, I need prayer. She said, I've got stage 4 cancer. And she was just really grateful, you know, for what she had done. But so she prayed for the lady, and her daughter get in the car and are trying to pull out, and the woman comes waving her hand, and she tells her daughter, pull over. Anyway, the younger woman ended up putting her hand on the lady's back and raising her hand right there in the parking lot to pray for this woman. She said, God loves you and he knows what you're going through. And you know, if we can tap into that kingdom within, it would be so helpful to the world to know that God is with them.
The simplest things that we hesitate to do.
You know, you could preach somebody 100 sermons, but doing something like that is more of a sermon than 100 sermons, listening to 100 sermons, you know.
And the old
Because you're showing the love of God to somebody, you know.
The old lady said, I've got to know this God you serve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what she gave to them.
Praise the Lord.
I've got to know this God.
Yeah. And that's great.
So good when God directs you or tells mm-hmm. you to do mm-hmm. something, you know he's going to move on it. Mm-hmm. Remember the one doctor that was here?
Mm-hmm.
I prayed for the little boy. God straightened short. He had one leg shorter than the other. Mm-hmm. You remember because he shared down there at the old church. And lengthened his leg right there in the air, his hands on as it was one little one that really loved the Lord. And he prayed for her. Nothing happened. Because he was so high in the spirit and filled with the anointing of God. And he kept having to wait in the little examining room. He'd come back and check on her and pray, you know, had prayed for her. He went home very disappointed because he felt, oh, why didn't you bless her? Because she even loves you
mm-hmm.
and testifies of you. And I don't even know if they even know you or think of you, the little boy and his mother. And God said, go ahead and tell you to pray.
Yeah.
You know,
it means so many times we're so caught up sometimes in things and want to pray for people, give them a word, pray for them,
mm-hmm.
and it has not been God telling you to do so.
Right.
You out of yourself, and maybe even have such compassion for them, do it. But when God tells you to do, you know he backs his word. And
one time years ago, I was on a Sunday night service and Brother Eddie was standing up and he was talking about, you know, that, you know, God had had him in a healing ministry, you know, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, you know, things that the Lord had done, you know,
mm-hmm.
through that ministry. And then he also said, but he had pulled people out of wheelchairs and had to put them back.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, the difference is that there's a difference between working with the Word of God and trying to get the Word of God to work. See, that's the problem. When you try
mm-hmm.
to get the Word of God to work, he's not always in that. But if he gives you the Word of God to speak to somebody, then it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it doesn't depend on you. It just depends on you being obedient to what he tells you when he tells you. But so many times we wonder why, you know, we had a sister that came here for a while, and she made the statement of that anytime I pray for somebody, they always get healed.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, well, and I won't say name, but I told her, I said, sister, I said, then every time that we pray for somebody up in the front, you should come up and pray with us. I told her that. I said, amen.
Right.
She didn't like that. I told her that. I said, no. I said, if every time you pray for somebody, they get healed, then you should come up there every time we pray for somebody. Because I want to see them get healed. I mean,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, you know, I wasn't being facetious, but what I was doing was bringing her back down into a little bit of reality, you know. And she did come up a couple times, and she prayed for Audrey in different ones at different times, and nothing, you know. But, you know, there's a difference between God giving you boldness and God giving you a word and you trying to project a word on somebody. That doesn't work, you know. I mean, that you projecting something. If God's telling you to do it, he's inspiring you to do it, he's going to move. He'll do something, you know. But anyways, she ended up leaving the church after a while. But I wasn't trying to put her in an awkward position. I just basically said, hey, if that's what God's doing with you, then come up here anytime we're praying for somebody. I want you to.
You know, our little group, our band of group, because we went for years, you know, down in Elmwood. And when you come on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and Brother Shepherd has even come to my house, you know, and come up there. And we used to have a meeting. We gather together and just share, and that every two, and us and our band, we went every Tuesday and Friday. And I had this, I didn't know what it was, but in my back, and I couldn't hardly walk, and everything, I worked all day, it was horrible. And when we were standing and getting ready to depart and hugging one another, a little maid, the little elder, she's passed, almost everybody's passed now, came up behind me and put her hands, you know, she saw I was walking and that, and I saw I was up to my back, on my hand back, and when she started praying, I felt this touch all over me, and it was sciatica in my neck. I've had a lower back strain. I've been in, what do they put you in the hospital when they got weights on you?
Track, yeah.
Yes, I've had, but all these years I've never had sciatica.
Wow.
She said, when God healed me, he told me to pray the same for others. Mm-hmm. She did want to put her hand on my back.
Well, I've told you all, I've shared a testimony about how God took the epilepsy away from me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, when she came out of that back room praying that one time, she just said, "Son, if I know the voice of the Lord," she says, "you'll never have another seizure." And I never did, but I felt like I was going to have seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And I was tested in it, you know. And basically, you know, I would quote 2 Timothy verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind," you know. And, you know, I never had a seizure, but I'd feel like I was going to have one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I was at a prayer meeting, and after I got saved, I wasn't even saved then. You know, I hadn't given my life to the Lord, but he had his hand on me.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, when I was at that prayer meeting at the time, a brother came over and prophesied to me, and he says, "Do you have epilepsy?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Did you have it?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have a fear of it?" I said, "Yes."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "God wants you to proclaim that fear is gone."
Mm-hmm.
And it was on a Wednesday night, we had a Wednesday night service, and brother, he said, "Anybody got any testimonies?" You know, and I was always sitting in the back of the church, and I didn't want to make any kind of commotion or want anybody to see. I mean, I just came and, you know, sat back there and stayed out of the limelight. And I felt like I was supposed to get up and testify. And I got up and I testified, and I felt just like I was going to have a seizure, sure as a world. And as soon as I spoke those words, you know, I want to thank God for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me. It was gone. And I've never had it since then. And you know, I mean, it used to be like, I wouldn't hardly go to the dentist when I was growing up, because they would give you gas or they would sometimes numb you, and that's how it feels when you're gonna have a seizure. You know, you start getting a numbness around your mouth and all that kind of stuff. And man, my stomach would just turn over in a knot when that would happen, you know. And I just thought, but I didn't have any of that, but just that nagging fear, see. And you know, I believe that proclaiming that word, when I was given that word, and that word was from the Lord, because we wouldn't have done a thing if it wasn't from the Lord, you know. But it was from the Lord, and it took it away. And you know, thank goodness for Mother being obedient and telling me what the Lord told her, you know. But for about 2 years after that, I didn't take the medicine. She'd still buy it, and I quit taking it. And I'd throw the pills in the toilet, flush them down the toilet, and she'd and I'd forget to do it, and she'd say, "You been taking your medicine?" And finally I told her, "No, I haven't been taking it." I was just a kid, I mean, you know, a little kid, because I started having a seizure when I was 9 years old, up until I was about 12. And she said, well, we better take you back to the doctor and have him check you out. Mother's right fear rising up, not the Holy Spirit in her, but mother's fear, you know, even after what God had told her. So they took me and put me in the hospital and ran the EEG test, which always had showed I had it before. And I'm telling you, I felt like I was going to have a seizure the whole time they were doing that, you know. And it all came back normal. And then every time I'd have to go every 6 months and get checked to get license or anything like that. Couldn't get life insurance or nothing hardly. And, you know, eventually, you know, everything, you know, I started getting my license for longer than 6 months and all that, but it took years. When I first came to church out at Wings, I had to get my license renewed every 6 months, you know. And, but you know, there's a difference between when God gives a word and when some person gives a word, see. And a lot of times if some person gives a word and nothing happens, then they'll try to heap condemnation on you. Wow, you didn't believe hard enough, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you know. And there is a stirring of faith in you has to be stirred too, you know, in a lot of these things, you know. But, you know, God knew what he was doing. He knows what he's doing in every situation, every circumstance. Like yours, he knew exactly what you needed, you know, and when you needed it, and you accepted it and received it, and thank, praise God you don't have it anymore, you know.
Clyde?
The whole word comes around as finally we trusted the Lord. I think that has a lot to do with our faith being moved and people touching us. God knows who to send your way, but he's waiting for you to trust him. Trust him that he's the one that moves people. I said something to somebody the other day and they were shocked. Matter of fact, I think they went a little speechless. I said, I believe in God. It's okay to make a mistake. We got too many people don't move in faith because they're afraid of making a mistake. The lady that heard that Debbie was talking about, that you told her about, paid for her groceries. I'd say 90% of Christians would have denied that word. That's terrible. When actually 90% of the Christians should be living that word, should be moving on that word. Why? Because first of all, it's by faith. Very first thing, it's by faith. If it's not by faith, I mean, when people, you know, people act like, well, you know, well, did God really say that to me? Did he really say it to me? Well, you keep on saying that, you're never going to hear the voice of the Lord because he's talking to you all the time. He's either talking to you through these ears, through this word, or he's talking to you through the body. We limit God acting like he's this big. You can't breathe deep enough to inhale what God is. And we breathe a lot. You know, I don't know exactly the number, but I'll tell you what. I believe it says that when you seek me with your whole heart, what's the rest of that? That will be the day you find me. And I know that you got to believe in here, but I also know there's got to be a willingness to be broken and say, oh, I need you. I just can't do it without you. And confession, because he honors that confession. Because that's what he said to do. Seek him with your whole heart. You know, I know people that believe that they're fine, they're fine, they're fine. But God won't answer their prayer because they don't have forgiveness. I've been studying what hinders God's prayer. How do you hinder God's prayer? Staying in your sin, being disobedient, being unforgiving. You know, it could be the very presence of God telling you, you know, your grandchild needs this. And you'd go, well, you know, and you don't realize, and you got something that's going to hold that prayer up. God's wanting you to straighten that thing up. He's wanting you to confess that thing. God, I can't ask you, but I can get somebody else to ask you. By the way, I was at somebody else that had contacted. I said, yeah, I'll do it because I know God's not going to answer your prayer. What? Think of that. That's what the scripture says. That if you have forgiveness, not if you don't have any forgiveness in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it also say, how can you believe him that you do not see if you don't believe in him that you do see? Our belief and our faith should be stirred by that Holy Spirit that we prayed about this morning. Come lead us and guide us into all truth. All truth is sometimes truth we don't want to hear. But he corrects us in his truth because he loves us so much. Because we're still his child. God's just an awesome God. If and when we get into the seventh chapter,
yeah.
I think that is tremendous right there.
Well, you want to go on in? Read it.
Judge not that ye be not judged. We had the brother from the Congo really get stuck on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, but it says don't judge. I said, well, then we need to read a little bit farther. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged.
Mm-hmm.
And with what measure ye, what's that, meet? It shall be measured to you again. I think the whole key there is knowing how God looks at people. His judgment was never to condemn us. It was to restore us. So I believe that he wants us to have the same judgment as he had. The judgment of reconciliation.
Well, I loved what you said just right before when you said, I know the Lord will not answer your prayer because you don't have forgiveness in your heart. And I believe that judgment and forgiveness are so closely tied together. The judgment is for acknowledgement, but the forgiveness is for restoration. It's almost the same thing in Christ.
Well, I think they actually cross over to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That where once you forgive somebody, mm-hmm. And I know I've heard people say this over the years. I want to say who, but I better not because she didn't remember it. True forgiveness is forgetfulness. When he says that he's taken all your sins that you repented of her and taken them and thrown them, picked them up, thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness. And then it says, and never to be brought before you again. So I guess my question would be, who brings those before you? Hello? We listening to somebody else? Or haven't we not let them go? I think we can get in a thing to where God wants to, it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Otherwise, he said, why are you trying to be the one that takes it out of their eye when you can't see through your own? I think God restores us in a way that, whether we know it or not, there's always love and compassion being the leader of the whole thing. That Holy Spirit just moving us into where we can do things. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of it out of thy eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. I've been thinking about brother a lot. I always told Debbie, I said, especially with our grandsons, because we only have grandsons. I said, let them fight. Let them fight. Me and my brother just fought all the time until one day I had had enough. And quick story, told him, I looked at him and said, don't hit me again. Of course, what did he do? He hit me again. Well, I hit him, knocked him down, took his hair, pulled him up the set of steps. We had a large set of steps up and let it. Then I got like, oh, that's not good enough. I need to pull your feet and let your head hit them. And did that. And I don't know how many times I did that. But after I did that, he never hit me again. And then down the road, we find out our dad lived in that house with his first wife. This is years down the road. We found out, you know, and it's his daughters, my sisters, it's their mother that fell down. You knew our mother fell down those steps. And 6 months later, she died of internal bleeding. I did not know that. But I'm thinking, oh my gosh, why didn't you tell me that earlier? You know, I'm thinking I could have hurt my brother. But you know what? There's so many things when you get emotional. As far as I'm concerned, when I get emotional, I really get stupid. You can brag on the stupid in me. Because, you know, sometimes you don't know how to stop or when to stop. But God's got so much mercy and so much grace. And he's given us a second chance so many times. I don't know about you, but somehow I believe that if somebody was to talk about me, they'd have to talk about second chances that God gave me. He's so merciful. We just seem to want to forget those things. There's a reason to remember them. Because in remembering them, you remember his mercy and his grace.
And his word says that his love covers multitude sins. I don't think just in us, but when we look at others and see them as a fault over something, love covers that which we see in others and that which we see in ourselves.
I'll tell you what, one time when I was with my brother and we were going to go do a job, a construction job. And he looks at me and he's driving. And he looks at me and says, you know, I've really got a problem with the commandments. And I mean, I'm going like, huh? What? And he starts telling me he's got a problem with the commandments. And of course, the Lord tells me, he goes like this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Which one of them are you having trouble with? That frown went all away from his face. That smile came on him. He goes like this, well, I guess I'm not having trouble with any of them. Because in those two, doesn't the word say, in those two, all the others are fulfilled?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he goes like this, well, I guess I'm not having no trouble with them. Because you know what? I mean, that's why it's good that God took the 10 and made it 2 and took all the laws that the Jewish people, what was it, 700
hundreds.
Some or whatever, all the laws that they did and brought it down to 1.
Yeah.
And that's how important it is to see him and say, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Yes.
Because when we become one spirit, we'll become one word. Mm-hmm. Because that's actually how it is. But anyway, it just, sometimes like you guys were talking about what that lady told you, things are so simple. I like how Oscar says, I'm going to teach you something. And he asked God, why? And he, what is it? Tell me. And he had to ask him the third time. And he finally said, the simplicity of the gospel. Is that right?
Simplicity in Christ.
In Christ. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what. We sometimes make it too hard.
Well, going back to what we talked about before, about the kingdom of God within you, the simplest thing about the kingdom is that it's right here. It's inside of you. And people can't grasp that, you know, because they got to be praying to God out there somewhere, you know. And
but he has to be. Too.
He does. Well, what did he say to Peter? You know, when Peter said, you know, you're the Christ, you know, mm-hmm. He said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you.
No.
He said, my Father. But then in a little short time after that, come get behind me, Satan.
Oh, yeah.
God has a way of bringing you down, buddy. He brings you down when you get a little puffed up. He knows how to stick that pin in and deflate you a little bit. You know.
Can I tell a story? First time I heard God speak to me, I was a teenager, didn't know the Lord, it wasn't going to church or anything like that. I was walking a friend home because it was kind of getting dark, and on the way back I was passing this big park and there was a telephone booth there, and this guy pulled in the driveway to the park, got out and got in the telephone booth, and I heard a voice say to me, don't go past the booth. So I cut through the park to get to keep from going past that telephone booth. Well, the guy got out of the booth and approached me and said something really scary, and I haven't been able to run that fast since, but I look like the Roadrunner, you know, getting out of there. But it's like even when we don't feel like we're in God, he's in us.
Oh my goodness.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, remember what Jeremiah said about before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Yes.
And that's part of the reality of God. He knew us all before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, you know. And the call on your life was there. And it, sometimes it takes a lot of years for it to
too
come
many.
To fruition, you know, but it's there, you know. Years ago, when I first got saved, I never would have thought I'd do the stuff that I've done over the years, you know, preach and teach and, you know, operating as a pastor or any of that stuff. I had no desire to do any of that stuff. I mean, you know, even though God showed me standing behind a pulpit when he really dealt with me when I was probably about 13 years old, you know, when he really, really, really dealt with me. But, you know, it's one of those situations where God knows what he's doing, and we don't, and we're finding it out more and more all the time, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to share something. It's been several days ago, and every time I have any dream, I always ask God, and I dream a lot, to show me, to interpret,
mm-hmm.
is he speaking, or is this because
right.
I'm concerned about something, that's why I'm dreaming or worried. And buddy, I got up in the morning. Well, first, buddy, when I got up, I was talking to Buddy, he said, what was your dream last night? And I thought, I don't remember having a dream. He said, you were laughing in your sleep. He said, it woke me up because you went, and you just started laughing. And I did not have any, so whatever was going on, I didn't remember any dream. But when I woke up, this song was by the Rivers of Babylon, that song. I've never actually sang that, but I said, well, I've heard this before. But when you read, and it talks about the wicked that took us away,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted us to sing, but how could we sing of Zion in a strange land?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the word, some of the words. And then it goes on saying the scripture in Psalm where he says that the words of my mouth in the meditation. And I want to go more into studying this because I know that God is wanting to show me something.
That's what you were laughing about.
And I was laughing. He said,
joy.
I remember laughing and I didn't remember any dream. I always have a dream. I wake up, they always say, lay there a minute. Don't just get right on it. But if you had a dream later, man, and it'll come to you what the dream is. Someone told me this, and I've done that because I'm always having dreams, and to be so real in that, and be with people that's passed away. I'd be laughing and talking. My sister that passed away, I was sitting here, and she's come up, sat next to me in this dream, and our friend that I had met through her because they had worked together, and then I ended up working with her. Peggy always said, you stole my friend, because I always open to go out and go places and do, and she never liked to, and her friend did. And she was sitting next to me first, and then she got up, said, I'm going to the restaurant, I'll be right back. And then I went to turn, and there was Peggy, and she was, because I always like Coke Zero, and she was drinking a Coke Zero. And she said, I said, where'd you get that at? She said, where? Because she was always quiet. But she would joke and have this little sense of humor. And she said, You're gonna let me tell me where the restroom is. When you do, then I'll tell you if I got this coat. And that's what she said, just like the way she talked. And we both started laughing, and we got up, and we were walking and gone. And our friend that just went to the restroom close to there, but we were walking and just talking and going on. And I don't think we ever got to a restroom because I woke up. But she and I were talking, and it was so real, so real. I'm going to study these scriptures again because I know there's something God wants to show me. I just feel it. I just feel it.
Well, when he does share it with us, sometimes
I will.
Comes your whole congregation. You know.
I will. You see, it's not long, real what it is, what God gives me, but I go back and listen to it, and I thought, where did all this come from? You know, when I have got up and shared, because y'all just like, we're all family. And you get up and share. And Joey gets me.
We promise we won't throw you down into a pit.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I look at Joey and I'm saying something, and she's identifying with it, and she looks at me, and we both, I'm laughing, so we both are sharing something. I look at Joey, and Joey goes, oh, yeah. She knows just what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So funny. So funny. Mm.
You know, that's the thing that you got to watch. Is there's times when God will give you something, and sometimes it's just for you.
Yeah.
And other times it's for a lot of people. And a lot of times you got to wait until, you know, the Lord dealt with me about the book of Zechariah and some of those other things a long time before I ever shared anything.
I remember when you shared Elijah.
Yeah.
Not Elijah. The book of...
Well, Ezekiel.
Yes, because I came down there. That's at the old church. I came down here.
Yeah.
I drove down there by myself coming.
That was hilarious in a way, because when we were, Zechariah, the Lord woke me up one time in the middle of the night years and years ago. And I felt like I was supposed to go downstairs in the basement. I went downstairs in the basement, and I just felt the anointing so strong. And I opened the book of Zechariah. And I just started reading through it and so on and so forth. But I wasn't supposed to share that until years later, you know. And I knew I wasn't really supposed to share it, but and the book about Zechariah, now that happened with Brother Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Sunday school class, and we had just finished one of the books.
You told me.
I asked him, I said, is there a certain book you guys want to go in? Brother Eddie says, let's go into the book of Zechariah. I said, well, okay. Oh, you don't have to do that. He was messing with me.
Yeah.
He was messing with me is what he was doing. I said, no, Brother Eddie. I said, anytime we go in any book, I expect the Lord to open it up. I can't open it up.
Oh, yeah.
God opened up so many things in that book. It was just unbelievable when I opened it. And it wasn't because of me or that I was smart or anything. It was because of God, the Holy Spirit did it. You know, I give all that credit to the Lord, but that's where it all belongs. But even that stuff about I had visions of God, and that word visions meaning mirror visions.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you look in the mirror? Who do you see? You see yourself. So that whole revelation that he was having was an inner revelation, you know. Part of the kingdom of God, him revealing it, you know. It's tremendous, you know. But his word, I mean, it's so perfect. It's just unbelievable.
Okay, guys, looks like it's time. As much as we hate to do it, it's time to shut it down. And who wants to pray? Mike?
Father, thank you for another day.
Yes, Jesus.
To learn about your word. Father, you just keep trying to teach us. Just remember the simplicity that, let us remember the simplicity that you're trying to get show us. Father, just let us soak it all in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.